one nation that spans from sea to shining sea, from the shores to the shores beyond to every shore. I'm your guest host today, George Freund, and we are in a bit of a dilemma because our guest scheduled for today passed away Monday. Stanton Friedemann, famed UFO researcher, died at the Toronto International Airport. And, you know, the bizarre, strange thing about that is that's not too far away from my home. And, you know, rather strange irony there that, you know, they may have been transporting him to the hospital and passing my house at the same time. But I had no idea that any of this was going on. And in its way, it's a shame that we couldn't have offered shelter to his family and allowed them to maybe get through this difficult time a little more easily. You hear that sound? You hear that sound, son? That's freedom. I love to wake up to the sound of freedom in the morning. It sounds like victory. And there's no greater victory than cavalry, and there's no greater cavalry than the Power Hour cavalry. We're forming posse, and we're heading to the heart of the beast and Roswell, New Mexico. You see, they're both connected. And that's probably the most important news on the planet Earth that's been swept under the big carpet or kept in seclusion with national security. We're going to replay an interview I did with Stanton Friedemann in 2012 for the Coast to Coast AM George Norrie shindig here in Toronto. And it's quite informative, very, very good interview. He gets to tell his life and what he has interpreted. We ask him some good questions. My worldview has changed significantly since then because I'm not a spinning ball model of the Earth supporter anymore. And I find my evidence now in a book I've been reading passionately to prepare and study for this interview we were supposed to have the day after Roswell by Colonel Philip A. Corso, retired and also deceased. He died a year after publishing his book in 1997. And he made some very, very startling comments in there that just completely and totally have to change your worldview and get you up to the plate. Because if he is correct in his assertions back then, not only are we doomed, we lost the war with the aliens. He was in military intelligence. He worked with the General Trudeau in the research and development portion, and that was a cover to say that they were stripping research and development from other countries, allied and not, and developed them for the United States military. But in reality, what they were doing is working on the Roswell file with alien technology. And in a short synopsis, he said the real invaders were not the little aliens they teased us with. Those were genetically modified robots. The real invader was the silicon in some super advanced circuit board or chip. And we can see, hopefully, even without rose-colored glasses, where that silicon has gone and what it's doing. Think 5G. Corso also said, as this spreads and envelops the world will turn into a giant brain where everything is controlled, especially after we launch those satellites to control our 5G and all the silicon that's been embedded anywhere. And the fact that the silicon will advance to artificial intelligence that will build itself and program itself. That's called the singularity. And you find those little buzzwords and you put them in the search engines on my website, conspiracy-cafe.com, and it'll take you to articles on this sort of thing. And I have linked the show, as I usually do, with the audio as it comes available and with an announcement page with links to some of these important things. This is your final warning. And you won't get another chance. Because we are really up against it. I believe Corso. And the reason I believe Corso is he stood on a matter of honor. And as a military officer, a lot of times that's a hard thing to do in any type of service, is to stand on a point of honor, because you're usually punished. And one of the points of honor he stood up with was the MIA POW issue from the Korean War. You see, we left them all behind there, too. And he came into loggerheads with someone who's very well known to you, John McCain. And they went at it tooth and nail. And we all know what John McCain did to the next generation of POW MIAs. So that's why I'm a big fan of Colonel Corso. A few paragraphs from his book is, it was as if the year 1947 to 1980, a fundamental paradigm shift in the ability of humankind to process information took place. Computers themselves almost became something like a silicon-based life form, inspiring the carbon-based life forms on Earth to develop them, grow them, and even help them reproduce. With computer-directed process control programs now in place in virtually all major industries, software that writes software, neural network-based expert systems that learn from their own experience in the real world, and current experiments underway to grow almost microscopically thin silicon-based chips in the weightless environment of Earth orbit may be the forerunner of a time when automated orbital factories routinely grow and harvest new silicon material for microprocessors more sophisticated than we can ever even imagine at the present. Were all this to be true, could it not be argued that the silicon wafers we recovered from Roswell were the real masters and space travelers of the EBE creatures, their hosts or servants? Once implanted successfully on Earth, our culture, having reached a point of readiness through its development of the first digital computers, would not the natural development stream starting from the invention of the transistor have carried us to the point where we achieve a symbiotic relationship with the silicon material that carries our data and enables us to become more creative and successful? And wouldn't that symbiotic relationship be the insertion of the chip, computer components put into your brain, or as we see it manifested now with your iPhone spy phones, you have it right beside your head, and 5G will be able to upload and download directly into your brain? Maybe the Roswell crash helped us develop the technological basis for the weapons systems to protect our planet from the EBEs. That was another thing he suggested, was the Cold War was a cover story to fight the extraterrestrials so that we could both get into mass weapons development and basically fight a war with them, because they can't completely dominate us in battle for some reason. So that's why they do it insidiously. Roswell, most likely, was a Trojan horse. It was an insertion of the alien life form in silicon that we would open and take in to the corridors of power and everywhere else. Maybe that's the shadow government, as many of our leaders have succumbed and surrendered to this beast because it brings money and power. One of the things these technological advances brought was Corso gave them away to big companies or certain people. They could do whatever they want with it, patent it, make billions, millions, trillions with them, just as long as they were developed undercover. That was a very closely guarded secret. In the interview, Dr. Friedman talks about the Eisenhower records in his library. Many are still classified. You can't get and see what in there. So when Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial complex, how deep was the warning? Was he warning us about the fact that we've been taken over? So we continue with Colonel Corso. Implanting a completely alien, non-humanoid life that survives from host to host like a virus, a digital Ebola that we humans will carry to another planet, he says, someday. Or what if an enemy wanted to implant the perfect spying or sabotage mechanism into a culture? Then the implantation of the chip-based circuitry in our technology by the EBEs would be the perfect method. Was it implanted as sabotage or as something akin to the gift of fire? Maybe the Roswell crash in 1947 was an event waiting to happen, like poison fruit dropping from the tree into the playground. Once bitten, the poison takes effect. Those are very significant words, and they should change you. You should look at your phone as the mark of the beast. It is the beast, coming to dominate and control your very soul in time, and try to get someone to back away from it. I've read articles that say that once taken, you cannot get rid of it anymore. It's like it has control of you already. So even though you know this, when you look at it, it's just like a compulsive addictive behavior. You just can't let it go. And when we see the social credit system coming in China, no buying, no selling without the mark of the beast in your hand, the phone, telling you what to do, where to go, imprisoning you in the Google master city of the future, where everything is controlled by the robotic brain that Corso tells us will envelop the planet. This is very, very, very important. There's an article on my website that I linked to from Wired Magazine talking about these same things, that this is the digital prison. And what are you going to do about it now? I can only say to be a Luddite and dash, smash, and crash the technology before this computerized Ebola takes us over. It's also 70 years since the book 1984 was revealed to the world. Daniel talks a lot about the schools. What do you learn in schools? What are schools? Schools are a Skinner box. If you don't know what a Skinner box is, look it up. That's what they are. The Communist Manifesto says public education. Hitler's planks as well, free university education. And what do we learn? We learn those words that came from Orwell. Ignorance is strength. Freedom is slavery. War is peace. That's what we learn. And Daniel talked about this rapture. I've never believed in the rapture. People look at me weird sometimes when I talk to Christians who do. My Christian motto is, last to die, first to be risen. Those are the two witnesses. So why would I want to get out of the fight? This is a psychological operation. Anything that tells you to stand down when a fight's coming is a psychological operation by the enemy. Why would we listen to the enemy? Hitler had a very interesting thing to say about the public school system he had. I don't care about you. You will grow old, you will wither, you will die. But I've got your children, and they're in my school. Is that what you want? And then when you get into the mind control conditioning that they're being given, the LGBT stuff, I'm glad there's a few. Like, you know, thank God for the Muslims who are standing up for this to save the world from the other type of invasion. You see these genetically modified robots that came with the Roswell spacecraft, or time machine. And I got a great guest coming on about that next month, so I can't wait to get into his book. They don't have digestive tracts, and they don't have reproductive organs. And I look at it, or free thought, really. This is what's being waged here, because this just popped out of nowhere around the world at all levels of government. This is the way it has to be. You have to be gender neutral. Okay, so I look like a little man that came out of a flying saucer. Very interesting things are coming our way. And you better catch up, because the world moves at the speed of the predator, not the prey. And the predator doesn't care if you can't catch up. And it just amazes me, too, that some people read this book I read, called the Bible, and they talk about sin. And they say, you know, the founding fathers were sinners. Well, what did God say? He said, we're all sinners. So there's no way out. There's nobody you can pick from. Everybody's a sinner. And what did Jesus say about that? Pull the thorn out of your own eye. First and foremost, because it's there. So to take the great words of the great patriots and bemean them or not teach them, just gives Satan power and dominion over this whole world. And why you'd let that happen, I have no idea. And if the Bible's true, I've said it many times on the show, God calls us uncircumcised when we're in the temple, and he laughs at us. So what right have you got to tell God what to do about who's a sinner and who's not? One of the great scenes in the movie Gandhi was when you get into this religious intolerance. A Muslim group of one sort or another killed a Hindu man's son. And the man goes to Gandhi and he says, what do I do? I want to kill. Gandhi says, no, you find a Muslim orphan. Adopt him and raise him as a Muslim and your son, and that will heal your wounds. A tough mission. But I think that's probably closer to the advice Christ would give than anything else. We're moving in this world to that big conflagration in the Middle East. Albert Pike spoke about the Third World War, to get Islam to fight the Jewish nations so that they eliminate each other and kill each other. Anyone who believes in the monotheistic God has to go when it comes to Satan and his minions. So we see, you know, the UK is raising the threat level for the Middle East. Iran militias move rockets in range of the U.S. troops. Saudi prince says Iran ordered the attacks on the pipeline. Well, they're fighting Yemen. It's okay to kill for money and power for the rich elites. They never have a problem with that. As long as you have a fighter jet or a bomber, you can kill with immunity, right? Because the money banker powers said so. Well, there's no getting out of murder. It's just wrong. And asset stripping countries and dominating them for your gain, no matter how big the corporation or how powerful it is a sin, a deadly sin that will come back on us terribly. It may take some time, maybe with the low birth rates, before we're slaves, to appreciate what was done by our forefathers better, that orchestrated these diabolical things. I'd hate to see that we go to a war, but it's building up. So for the prepper crowd, don't be ashamed to prep and prepare and store, because it comes like a thief in the night, doesn't it? USA suspends all flights to Venezuela. Not a good sign. USA is got the fleet over, bombers, all sorts of things. This is a perilous, perilous, perilous time. China selling U.S. securities, that's not going to help the economy any, but Christ said to throw it all away and follow him, so I really don't have much fear or worry about the money and the things. There's a certain direction to go, and I don't think money's going to get us into heaven in any way, shape, or form. And many of the Christians are just so inured to their altars, idols, and temples that they care nothing about heaven, salvation, or God, in spite of those. And will even embrace Satan with his chippy phone because it's so convenient and fun. Radioactive contamination found in Ohio school. A lot of this radioactive material, from whether it's the military or hydro projects and stuff, is everywhere. And it's something to be very, very concerned about. But that's why some of the alternative controls for cancer are so important. And we've talked about those things. And then, you know, a giant vault, concrete vault in the Pacific is leaking, where they stored contaminants from nuclear weapons tests. That's not a good thing either. It's not like the Pacific hasn't suffered enough. So they call it the nuclear coffin leaking in the Pacific from hydrogen bomb tests. Chinese rover finds rocks on the far side of the moon. But I don't believe in the spinning ball models, so I think most of that is crap. And in previous moon rock studies, and I found these on my website to post, the rocks that they said were from the moon were very rare rocks from a very deep mine in Australia. And on closer examination, they found fossil records inside. So they made it up and lied to us, like they try to do about everything. Mind-controlled hearing aid picks out voices in the crowd. And I imagine it's already ready to send the voices into your head to tell you what Big Brother wants in a one-on-one relationship. I don't doubt that for a minute. These are perilous times. And what we're going to do about it is another thing. I did post on that article that Daniel was talking about yesterday, liberals alarmed Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision. And I imagine, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, just grinding their teeth about that. Because the big thing about the truth is you get the jump factor. It would almost be a scientific formula. Maybe if I was like Copernicus, I could make one up. that the closer you are to the truth, the higher they jump. In the Civil War era, opinion and the Supreme Court ruled that people of color were not human and could be bought and sold. That was an entrenched position. I'm sure there were many who would prefer not to appoint a Supreme Court judge who disagreed with such a fundamental decision. Close to a century later, another country, popular opinion and a Supreme Court ruled that persons of a certain faith were not human and could have their liberties curtailed to the point of termination of life. I'm sure they preferred to support like-minded judges in their court. In fact, I doubt they would even have had a chance to appoint one who didn't. In time, the human race learned this was immoral behavior and corrected its course, only to allow popular opinion and a Supreme Court to decide again that a certain class of people are not human and deserve no less than termination of their life. We follow a pattern, we do. We were wrong in the 19th century, we were wrong in the 20th century, and we're still wrong today. We as humans do not have the right to legislate the end of life or its enslavement. A woman has the right to her body in determining what action she takes, if any, to be impregnated. After exercising that right comes the next word, responsibility. There can be no rights in a state that eliminates responsibility. Without those rights, we become a state ruled by the mob under the guise of popular opinion, administered by a select, the judges, subservient to the mob for their position to administer it. With that, we condemn ourselves, like the generation past, as arbitrators of the supreme law of the universe, the law of the jungle. The strong survive. The weak perish at the hands of the strong. The greatest gift we as humans can bestow is the gift of life. It is something to nurture and cherish, not ritually extinguish in our mad dash rush to the lowest common denominator. One day a court may be wise enough to see the task. Until then, it's just a form of mob rule. Thanks for coming out to Power Our Nation. I'm George Freund. On the flip side, my interview with Dr. Stan. God bless you, Stan. We appreciate your work over the years.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores are love to eat. Yum! If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM Sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. And joining us posthumously is going to be our guest, Stanton Friedman. I interviewed him in the summer of 2012, June 21st, actually. And we got into a lot of in-depth material. It was a great interview that he gave us on the George Norrie Coast to Coast Soiree that was in Toronto in 2012. So I won't take up too much time because we'll be able to get it all in there. It's a 90-minute interview, but you can come to my website. I called the show We Can Handle the Truth. Search it up there. I put links on my website as well, and you can hear the rest or review it at your leisure. And you know, it's the first time, too, if you watch it, that I used green screen, and only time because I look at that as fakery and I don't like to do it. So just for the theme of space, we had a space background and a little alien friend behind us. So do stay tuned and enjoy a great man giving a great dissertation, especially the stuff about the secret libraries that are still concealed, like President Eisenhower's. Carry on. Thank you.
With no further ado, I guess we have to welcome Stan Friedman to the show and really thank him for taking the time to talk to us, because he's got to fly out to Toronto tomorrow and come and grace us with his knowledge and experience in this issue. You know, we deal with the red hot matter all the time, things that you're not supposed to know, things that go bump in the night. And, you know, this is our first time with Stan, and, you know, I have a few Georgisms from time to time, but one of them is people make light of the word conspiracy. And, you know, I always like to throw it in the face of a lot of mainstream media. What was the first conspiracy? And a long, long time ago, they told us the world was round. And if you believed that, you were wacko. And we had to believe the world was flat. Well, there are things that go way beyond our world. Other worlds. We're here. Other people can be here. So why can't they come and stop off at the planet Earth? I think that's well within the realm of possibility. So we welcome Stan Friedman, and bless you for taking the time to talk to us.
Well, it's my pleasure. I grew up with radio. I like radio. I don't need to wear a tie.
Well, that's something I took off, because it's a scorcher in here.
That's what I hear.
Oh, indeed. With these hot lights and such, we're also using the synthetic background for the first time on this show as well, just to give a little bit of a sci-fi scene in the background for the viewers. Stan, if you could just give us a bit of background for yourself, for novices who might not be as aware of what you've done with your life to devote yourself to this really hot topic of extraterrestrials and bringing it in from a scientific background that you have.
Well, I grew up in Linden, New Jersey. It wasn't my fault. I had nothing to do with it. It's a great place to be from. Away from. I spent 2 years at Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey, 3 years at the University of Chicago, got bachelor's and master's in physics from the university. Carl Sagan and I were classmates for 3 years. He never bragged about me being his classmate, but I can brag about his being mine. I wish he were still around. I then spent, our paths diverged, to say the least. I went out into industry, the real world, and set a record, I think, for working on canceled government-sponsored advanced research and development programs. You know, there's a real world out there, and real research and development programs completely outside the purview of academia, even though they still don't seem to realize it. I spent 3 years with General Electric Aircraft Nuclear Propulsion Department working on nuclear airplanes, believe it or not. And in 1958, we employed 3,500 people. Our budget that year was $100 million, which was a lot of money in 1958. 1,100 of those 3,500 people were engineers and scientists. And it was great. It was intriguing to me. It was exciting. You know, hey, this thing could go. And I was doing experiments and not just sitting around and doing paper studies. And that's when I first got a clue about flying saucers, entirely unintentionally. I was ordering books from Marlboro Books, discount place, and I needed one more book so I wouldn't have to pay shipping. I'm a cheapskate. And there was the report on unidentified flying objects by Air Force Captain Edward J. Ruppelt. Now, he had headed Project Blue Book in the early 50s. And the Air Force was co-sponsor of our program with the Atomic Energy Commission. And I figured those were the good guys. That was then. I thought, you know, if these things are real, and I didn't have an opinion because I didn't know anything, bad habit of mine, don't express an opinion if you don't know anything, you know. And so it ought to be worth reading, and it wasn't going to cost me anything. It was $2.95 marked down to $1 for a hardcover book. And that's what shipping would have been. So I read the book. It intrigued me. It didn't convince me, but I shared it with my neighbor. Charlie was an engineer, 10 years older than I was, and he was more impressed than I was, and I was impressed by that. I mean, I was 24 years old. He was a man of the world, you might say. And then we each went our own separate ways, and the next time I saw him, several years later, he attended a lecture of mine at an engineering group in Connecticut. And the first thing he says to me, "We knew you when you didn't believe in flying saucers," which was a nice thing to say. Anyway, I moved to California, read another dozen books, and then the epiphany came, if you will. At the University of California, Berkeley Library, after reading a dozen books, I found a copy, privately published, of Project Blue Book Special Report 14. Biggest study ever done for the Air Force, but it hadn't been mentioned in any of the books that I had read. I mean, 240 charts, tables, graphs, and maps. I was in data heaven. However, the guy included a copy of the official Air Force press release in 1955, October, in which the Secretary of the Air Force, no less, lied through his teeth. That made me angry. He said, "We believe that no objects such as those properly described as flying saucers have overflown the United States. Even the unknown 3% could have been identified as conventional phenomena or illusions if more complete observational data had been available," unquote. Now, the only trouble with that great-sounding statement is a total lie. The unknowns weren't 3% or 6 or 12. They were 21.5%. And they were completely separate from the 9.3% listed as insufficient information. Well, you know, it really made me angry. I was accustomed to dealing with security. Well, reports I wrote were classified. And tiptoeing around the truth sometimes to avoid giving out classified information. But flat-out lies like that? That bugged me. So I joined APRO and NICAP, the two big UFO groups, talked about it at lunch, brown bagging with my colleagues, got to know Frank Edwards, a journalist, incidentally, in Indianapolis, because I moved on from California to Indianapolis, worked for General Motors. on another program that got canceled, of course, Military Compact Reactors. Got to know Frank, and he gave me a copy of his new book, Flying Saucers, Serious Business. And I read it, and by this time I was working for Westinghouse in Pittsburgh, Westinghouse Astronuclear Lab, no less, working on nuclear rockets. Again, not just paper studies. I'll talk about that in a minute. And I called Frank, and I said, Frank, I want to go public. What? You know everybody. Who can I talk to? So he gave me a bunch of names, and one of them was the producer for a radio show called Contact, believe it or not, at KDKA Pittsburgh, which, as you guys know, is one of the big U.S. Clear Channel stations, 50,000 watts, got a big signal. And I figured they, because in Pittsburgh, if you were a nuclear physicist, which is what I was, working for Westinghouse, that was, those were gold-plated credentials. Didn't impress the guy I was talking to at all. Boiled down to, well, don't call us, we'll call you. Less than a month later, he called me. Somebody had canceled at the last minute. He called me at 6:30 to do a 7 o'clock show, guys. I lived near the station. Could you please come on tonight? So I did go on, and somebody at work at Westinghouse had a book review club, and they were reading Frank's book, and she asked me if I would give a lecture to her book review club in her living room. That was my first lecture. I liked it. They liked it. I did that show a number of times, and I was learning my trade, but a couple of breakthroughs happened. One was, I'm riding to work one of 2 days. I live downtown, Astronuclear Labs, out of town. And Joanne was a supervisor, PhD, from Carnegie Mellon. And I'm saying, gee, I'd like to talk at Carnegie Mellon University. Well, talk to the dean, Stan. I said, well, I talked to Dr. So-and-so, and he wasn't interested. She says, Stan, the dean's my husband. He's heard you on the radio. Why don't you give him a call? Well, I did. And, he'd be delighted to have me speak. They had a whole series of speakers, and we set a date, and I realized it was during the day. That means I got to take some time off work. So his last question was, how much do you want? And I figured, well, he's going to cut me down, but I'll ask for 100, and he'll settle for 50. But, no, he bought 100. But then, because I knew his wife, he told me what he was paying the other guys and the other people in the series. $1,500, $1,600, $1,700. Well, the talk went extremely well, and he wrote a very nice letter to the agent through whom he had booked the other speakers. And he booked me for a princely sum of $300 plus travel for the Engineering Society of Detroit. Now, that is not a bunch of little old ladies in tennis shoes, you understand. Very hard-nosed people. This is 1967, 68, I guess. And I went up there. They were sold out 3 weeks in advance for 1,008 people for dinner and a talk. And there wasn't one negative question. That was very encouraging to me. I did a lot of other talks. And finally, I say to my boss, I said, you know, I need some guidance here. I like lecturing, but I don't want to lose my job or my clearance or my mortgage. Or, you know, I need to know what the rules are, because without a clearance, you know, tough out of luck in what I was doing. So they came back to me with the rules. You can say what you please on your time. You can identify yourself as a Westinghouse nuclear physicist. But we would like you to start your lecture with a disclaimer. The views you're about to hear are mine and mine alone and not those of my employer. Well, who could ask for anything more than that? That's great. Well, I did ask for something more. Got a call from a colleague at Los Alamos who was also working on nuclear rockets. Hey, Stan, how about speaking to the local section of the American Nuclear Society? Oh, I'd love to. I mean, on an expense account. Oh, I don't make those decisions. I'm in Pittsburgh. He wants me to go to New Mexico on the company, no less. Now, Westinghouse is a corporate member of the American Nuclear Society, and I'm a member, too, for that matter. I asked management. They said yes. So I flew to New Mexico, and I'll be going there this coming Thursday for the big annual Roswell Festival, because I'm the original civilian investigator of the Roswell incident. Anyway. anyway, I went there. We had over 500 people, one of their bigger crowds. And, again, no negative questions. So it was the enthusiastic response, there's a point to these stories, of my professional colleagues that convinced me I had something meaningful to say, and I could handle the slings and arrows of outrage, nasty, noisy negativists. And so it wasn't too long thereafter where they ran out of funding on the Advanced Nuclear and Space Systems Development Programs. And I went full-time, 1970. The flying saucer physicist strikes again. So now I've spoken at over 700 lectures, all 50 states, 10 provinces, 18 other countries. Answered, I figured out once, about 50,000 questions, and done all kinds of television and radio and so forth. And, you know, if you had told me this back when I started, that I would be doing this full-time, I'd have laughed my head off. But here I am, and I've written 5 books and enjoyed almost all of it. And I should add something else. Many people say to me, well, you must get a hard time from the people on the press out there and stuff. I've had all of 11 hecklers and over 700 lectures, and 2 of them were drunk, and the audience took care of the others. So for people who think nobody cares about this subject, you're wrong. A lot of people care, and just the fact that the program is sold out Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I didn't have to buy a ticket. It's pretty expensive.
Well, Stanton, you also, the city of Fredericton also declared August 27 Stanton Friedman Day. Is that true?
2007, they did. Yeah. I mentioned Fredericton whenever I can. When I do radio programs, I often say beautiful downtown Fredericton. And, of course, most of the people in the world have no idea where that is. I enlighten them. And you know, it's funny. When I talk to people in California, I often tell them, remember, I'm 4 hours ahead of you. Come on, Stan, you're only 3 hours ahead of you. No, I'm east of Maine. Well, there's nothing east of Maine. Oh, yes, there is. So I enlighten the world about Fredericton. It is a lovely place. We need people. Anybody listening who wants to live in a splendid place that doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. And the winters are a little rugged, but we have nicer summers than you guys
mm-hmm.
do.
Well, it is quite beautiful down there. I know I took a good drive through New Brunswick in 2008, and, you know, that was my first time. It was just absolutely lovely. The people are friendly. The vistas
yes.
are just captivating. You know, it rained like hell, unfortunately, for most of the trip, but that's just fate. So, you know, one of the big issues, I guess, that exists in you know, any type of investigation of, you know, UFOs or flying saucers, of course, has to be Roswell, and you're so very well versed in Roswell. And I guess that was one of the big wake-up calls for me too, is because governments lie. Governments lie all the time. I
know
they lie about
that,
everything.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah.
So the fact that they say there's nothing there or it doesn't apply or anything like that tells me right away that they're lying and this has to be the truth just mm-hmm. because they always lie. There's nothing else to conclude. It's just how big is the lie? What's the depth and breadth of the situation?
Well, you know, one of the strange things is that some of those academics just can't believe the government can keep secrets. Dr. Seth Shostak of the mm-hmm. SETI Institute. SETI stands for Silly Effort to Investigate, you understand. Seth said, look, hey, this is the same government that couldn't handle Katrina, the FEMA,
that's right.
that runs the post office. He didn't say anything about you know, the Office of Naval Intelligence, the CIA, the NSA, the DIA, the NRO, and then, what's his name, head of the Hayden Planetarium, Neil deGrasse Tyson, said at Penn State University, 1,800 people, the article said, well, the proof the government can't keep secrets is how much we know about President Clinton's genitalia. That's a really relevant remark, you know. And, you know, right along the way, I've had 2 different academics tell me, Stan, look, if Roswell really happened, they'd have had to pull half the physicists out of the colleges to deal with it. I said, you've got to be kidding. Have you no idea how big Los Alamos and Sandia and Lawrence Livermore and Westinghouse and Lockheed and a whole bunch of other people are? The total budget, I looked about 10 years ago, total budget for the three nuclear weapons labs was greater than the total budget for the National Science Foundation in all its areas of activity. And they each employed roughly 8,000 people and each spent about $1 billion a year. And so what I find, and this cuts across a lot of areas, it's not just that, is that the academics have no appreciation of how much goes on outside of academia. For example, nuclear propulsion. These guys will tell you, you can't get here from there. They're still thinking, they're like guys who are still using slide rules. They're still thinking of chemical rockets. Are they really unaware that the Navy has had nuclear submarines since 1956? That there are nuclear-powered aircraft carriers out there, that can operate for 18 years without refueling? Are they unaware that we have learned one of the biggest secrets of the universe, how stars produce their energy? I mean, when you realize how ignorant we were in, say, the year 2000 or 1900, let's say 1900, no airplanes, no rockets, no genetics, no nice little microcircuits and all this other stuff. Computers, there's a very long list. And yet, between 1944, let's say, and 8 years later, we went from dropping chemical bombs, they were called blockbusters, 10-ton blockbusters, big bombs. Took a B-29 to carry them. That was in 44. 45, we exploded our first atomic bomb. Instead of releasing 10 tons of dynamite energy equivalent, about 19,000 tons. And then we finished it off in 1952. We started the next era with our first H-bomb, which released the energy of 10 million tons of TNT. 10 million. And that's not the biggest one. The Russians exploded one, 57 million tons of TNT. And the point is, smart guys, and I worked on a fusion propulsion system study in 1962, smart guys know you can use fusion to send you to the stars. You can have particles that have 10 million times as much energy per particle as they can get in a dumb old chemical rocket. So in the real world, where secrets are routinely kept, the stealth fighter was developed. It only cost $10 billion in 10 years in secret. And in my book, Flying Saucers and Science, I have a whole chapter on the cosmic Watergate. And I list a number of programs. $10 billion here, $13 billion there. We're talking the real world. And I hear these guys talking, just a couple of articles very recently, about, let's assume there's a guy, a civilization out there 1,000 light years away. We'll never be in contact with them. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is one of the world's great cosmologists. Is he really unaware that there are over 1,000 stars within a lousy 55 light years of here? And that some of them are a billion years older than we are just down the street? And so the notion that why don't the aliens come here and land on a White House lawn? Did you ever hear it's such a silly question?
Mm-hmm.
Does the President of the United States speak for 7 billion Earthlings? I don't think so. It's a no-fly zone on top of it.
Well, it's also been noted, Stanton, that a lot of American presidents have actually witnessed UFOs but have not really come forth, such as John McCain and Kennedy and a lot of other prominent...
Jimmy Carter. His.
Mm-hmm. And it's never really been brought to light. It's always dismissed. It's always closed up in the files. The FBI and the CIA want to put a lid in all this, but they actually witness themselves, and they don't even come forward. Well, look at in Canada, as you know, Paul Hellyer, and his disclosure, and nobody else. He seems to be muffled at every turn that he takes.
Yeah, I've talked to Paul, and as a matter of fact, first time right there in Toronto, I was at another event. staged by Victor Vigiani.
Yes, we know him quite well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was there when I spoke before Paul did at that conference. Well, you know, I do have bones to pick with some of the disclosure people because some of them don't seem to understand that there doesn't seem to be any precedent for the major countries to release their technological data. When was the last time somebody put stuff out on the table that was secret to him, but he thought, oh, well, we'll put it out in the open? People say, you mean you don't want everything disclosed? No. I worked under security for 14 years. I have a healthy respect for security. Technology that can be used for military purposes should not be put out on the table. There are a lot of equivalents of Osama bin Laden out there. So people say, why don't we just hand it out? I'd just been looking at a script for something where they were saying that, maybe aliens will give us technology.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made to